Sound Design Auto, Amaze Rappaport, Gamzu der Teufel.
Birshus, Kola Kola Kodisha Ze. Steht im Posuk, Pasha Zocher. So the Posuk says, Vayovoi Amolik, Vayilochim Yisrael Berefidim. I'd like to speak about this Posuk. This week, we're going to be coming to Purim, and when the decree, terrible decree of Haman was announced, so we know that Mordechai HaTzadik girded himself with sackcloth, and when Esther HaMalka heard that Mordechai was sitting with sackcloth, of course she was shocked, and she sent a message to Mordechai, and the Pasuk in Megillah says, Lodas Mazeh Ve'almazeh, to know, what's all this about? What's this all about? Mazeh, what is this? Ve'al mazeh, and what about? What is this about? Now Chazal tell us, literally translated, what was this about and why? But Chazal darshan this pasuk, because it's an unusual loshon, das mazeh ve'al mazeh. Chazal bring a medrash. The medrash says that she asked, what is the spiritual, she wanted to know, what is the spiritual cause of this horrific decree? That's what she wanted to know. And she was asking, which of the 10 commandments, which of the Aseres HaDibros, had Klal Yisrael transgressed? Now how do we know it's referring to the Aseres HaDibros? Because we know that regarding the tablets, regarding the Aseres HaDibros, the Luchos, it says, Mizeh u'mizeh him ksuvim. They were written, they were etched out, not just an etching, but they were right through. They were written right through, so you could see the writing on the other side. They were literally on the other side, it was literally etched right through. Mizeh u'mizehim ksuvim. They were written, well, mizeh right through, and mizeh u'mizehim ksuvim. Both the luchos on both sides were written, so they were miraculously inscribed through and through. Mizeh u'mizehim ksuvim, through and through. So she was asking. She wanted to know lodas mazeh v'al mazeh. Which of the 10 commandments had they transgressed that this terrible decree was in action, was in play? What did Mordechai send back a message? Which of the Aseres HaDibros? So he sends back a message. Eis kol asher korohu. He sent back a message telling her, everything asher korohu, eis kol asher korohu, everything that had transpired to him, that had happened to him. Say Chazal, again, what does it mean, the words korohu? Korohu was a happening, something that happened, something that transpired, literally translated. Also interesting, Loshon, use Loshon. Eis kol asher korohu, say Chazal, Ben, he was sending her a message. You want to know who's done this to us? Who's caused this terrible decree? It's Ben Benoy shel korohu. It's the grandson, the descendant of korohu. Bo aleichem has come upon us. And who's korohu? Who's korohu? Who's this? Amalek. Amalek. Because by Amalek it says, Zocher asher osher lecho Amalek, v'derech b'tzeischem asher korcho v'derech. Asher korcho, literally translated, asher korcho, they chanced upon you. They happened upon you. So asher korcho is korohu, miloshen korohu, ben benoy shel korohu. This is an enikel, this is a descendant, a grandson of Amalek, who's korohu, who chanced upon us. This is Haman. Haman is a descendant of Amalek. So it was a sort of nickname for Amalek, korohu, because the pasuk says asher korcho baderech. Now he didn't really answer what she was asked. What was he asked? Esther sent a message to Mordechai asking, what spiritual cause was the cause of the decree? Which are the 10 commandments? And what did he answer? He tells me who it was. She asked him spiritually, Ruchni Yisdik, and he answers her, Gashmi Yisdik. He answers her, who's doing it? That's not what she asked. She asked, what's the cause of it? What's the spiritual cause of it? What did Klal Yisrael do wrong? And he tells her, it's Amalek, it's Haman. What sort of an answer is this? Vayovoi Amalek vayilochem im Yisrael berifidim. Amalek came and fought with Klal Yisrael in Refidim. And Chazal again darshan, what is the place Refidim? It's called Refidim. Why in Refidim? Why did they fight them in Refidim? And there's two midrashim. interesting to note. One is a Medrash Tanchuma, and one is a Mechilta. And the Lashonos used in both Midrashim are slightly different. In Tanchuma state, Sherofu Yedeihem min HaToyra u'min HaMitzvahs. That their hands, Yedeihem, their hands, Rofu. What does it mean? Rofu means they loosen their grip. The grip loosened min HaToyra u'min HaMitzvahs. Sherofu Yedeihem. That's Refidim. Miloshin Rifyoin is to loosen one's grip from Torah and Mitzvahs. In Mechilta it says, not Sherofu, but Refidim is Shepirushu. They separated themselves. They detached themselves. Midivrei Torah, from words of Torah. Now, it could have said very simply, Shaloi Lom de Torah. They didn't learn Torah. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say they didn't learn Torah. It says they loosened their grip. Their hands loosened their grip on Torah. It's in Tarachuma. Or they separated from words of Torah. It doesn't say they separated from Torah. It's separated from the words of Torah. And there's no doubt about it. Of course Klal Yisrael learnt. Of course they learnt Torah. There's no doubt about it, they learnt Torah. They did learn Torah. So what did they do wrong? That Amalek came to fight them in Refidim. Sherofu Yedeya Midivrei Torah. Sheperushu Midivrei Torah. What did they do wrong if they continued learning Torah? There's two ways of learning Torah. There's two ways of holding an object. You can hold an object loosely, and you can hold it tight. There's two ways of learning Torah. You can sit quietly and scan the words, or you can say over the words. You can say it over, and you can shockle with Kol Atzmoisei Toimarno, when all my bones and all my whole body says over the very Torah. Of course they learned Torah. But what happened was there was a sense of detachment. They loosened their grip. They became detached from Torah. They scanned the words. They learnt in silence. They were lethargic. They were disconnected. There was a sense of indifference in their learning. It was without the necessary hergeshim, without the necessary enthusiasm of learning Torah. It was with a kaltkeit, it was with a certain coldness that they were learning Torah. Without any feeling, without any bren. That was what it means, sharofu yedeihem midivrei Torah. That they loosened their grip on the words of Torah. Shepeishu midivrei Torah, they came detached from the words of Torah, not from Torah itself. Their learning lacked enthusiasm, the necessary warmth to learn. And that's refidim, sharofu yedeihem. They loosened their grips. Who was Amalek? Amalek, asher korcho baderech. What does korcho mean? Korcho, we find a few different expressions with the letters kufresh. The first one, asher korcho baderech, is miloshen mikre. Mikre, everything's a mikre. Everything's indifference, inconsequential. Nothing's important. Nothing's holy. Nothing's sacred. It's not consequential. Nothing. That's mikre, an indifference. The other expression is kar, coldness. Amalek, omol kuf, omol is toil. Shetiyu amelim batoyer, a person has to toil in learning. Omol is the toil, is kuf, koif, is a monkey. In Gemara, the expression is maisa koif be'alma, when you want to describe something that's done without any thought processes, without kavona, we say it's a maisa koif, it's a monkey doing something does it without any thought. Omol kuf, that toil is for nothing, it's absolutely meaningless. We find that Chazal describe Amalek. They describe Amalek as being the first ones to jump into the boiling, scalding hot bath. Nobody, no nation in the world dared try and fight Klal Yisrael. Imagine you've got a boiling hot bath, burning hot. Amalek dared to jump into that bath to fight Klal Yisrael. From then on already, all the other nations, the bath had already been cooled down, so they weren't scared. Amalek were the ones who created that coldness. The kaltkeit, they cool down that boiling hot bath. There was a lack of passion in Shmiras HaTorah Mitzvitz. That's Sherofu Yudei Midivrei Torah. And that is the Mido Keneged Mido of Amalek. Because Klal Yisrael lacked enthusiasm, Because Rafu Yadayim and Divrei Torah, they learned Torah, but it wasn't with the correct enthusiasm, it wasn't with the correct koichas, with the correct interrogation. It was lethargic, they were detached. It was Rafu Yadayim and Divrei Torah, they'd loosened their grip. Or Shepeishu, they'd become detached, a sense of detachment. That's the Torah and that's me. They weren't, didn't part and parcel of it. And that's Mido connected. Mido came along Amalek. The Amalek is Asher Korcho Baderech. That caused Amalek. Because that is the middah of Amalek. The middah of Amalek is a coldness, a sense of detachment. By the Luchos were Mizeh u'Mizeh heim k'suvim. Why were the Luchos Mizeh u'Mizeh heim k'suvim? Why were they written through and through? The message of the Luchos is that the Torah has to be chokuk aluach liboy. The Torah has to penetrate the very depth of a person's heart. Chokuk aluach liba means it's got to penetrate the depth of a person's heart. It's got to be etched out into the heart, right through and through. And that's why the luchos, the tablets, were inscribed miraculously right through and through. And that's what Esther asked. Esther asked, what did they transgress the message? What was the message? Mizeh u'mizeh im k'suvim. Why did Klal Yisrael become lethargic and detached from Torah? That this terrible decree had happened to them? And he said to them, it's ben benoy shel korohu. This is the outcome of Amalek. This is the influence of Amalek. This coldness. And we find the same thing that they went and they, it says they went and they joined in the feast of Ahasuerus. If you look at the Lashon of the Gemara, the Gemara doesn't say they ate in the Suda of Achashverosh. There was nothing wrong with eating in the Suda of Achashverosh. It was all kosher. It was glatt kosher. It was the best kosher you could find. They were given kosher food. And more than that, you know, it's Darkei Sholem. It's important to keep good relations with the Umas Olam, with the nations of the world. It was very important that they take part. But what's the Lashon of the Gemara is, Shenehenu Misu'udoso Shel Oisei Rosha. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed that they were indifferent to the hergeshim, to the necessary hergeshim, to the necessary feelings, Yiddish feelings they should have had. And they went and enjoyed it. When a person doesn't serve the Rebbeinu Shloim with the correct hergeshim, with the correct enthusiasm, with the correct simcha, then the klolos come along. This is when Amalek attack. Because that is the Midah of Amalek. The Midah of Amalek is a sense of detachment, coldness. And this is what she asked, Mizeh u'mizeh k'suvim? And this is what Mordechai answered, Eiskol asher korohu. It's the coldness. Of course, once Klal Yisrael had realized the cause of the decree, then kiyemu v'kiblu, they accepted upon themselves what they had accepted all those years earlier, a second acceptance of Kabbalah Satoira with a correct enthusiasm, with a correct ergeshim, not with a coldness, but to learn Torah with a correct grip, with a total hard grip, and to learn Torah with enthusiasm, to keep the Torah with enthusiasm. This is the message of Megillas Esther. Now we know that the Megillah is a message of Gamzu L'Toivo. That even when things look bleak, they're actually all for the good. The Gemara in Tanis records an incident regarding Nochum Ish Gamzu, who was chosen to take a gift to Caesar's palace, to Caesar's court, a chest of precious stones and pearls, famous story. And during his journey, while he was staying overnight at a certain inn, so the gems were stolen, and they replaced them with dirt. And when Nochum Ish Gamzu heard this, he said, Gamzu L'toivo, this is all for the good. And he arrives at the palace, and he gives the chest to the emperor, and without the slightest hesitation, he has no fears, no chashash, no nothing. Vashleitzach, understandably, the emperor was enraged, claiming that the Jews were trying to mock him, and he decided he's going to kill the Jews. Mamush like with a Achashverosh and Haman. That night, Eliyahu HaNavi dresses up, disguises himself as a Roman official, and he suggests to Caesar that maybe, he's got an idea, could it be that in fact what they've given you is the very same dirt in this chest that Avraham Avinu used to wage war against the four kings. What happened when Avraham Avinu used this dirt and he threw it at the four kings and it turned into swords? And he threw straw at them and it turned into arrows. As the Pasuk says, it's a Pasuk in Yeshaya, Yitein ka'ofor charboi ke'kash nidof kashtoi. He made his sword like dirt and his bow like wind-blown straw. So the Romans heard this. So they thought, we'll try it. So they went to a certain city that they hadn't managed to conquer. They threw the dirt at the city, and lo and behold, they were victorious. It worked. So they were so excited, they sent over Nochum Ish Gamze home with a chest full of gems, full of precious stones. And they sent him off in great fanfare. And on his return journey, he stopped off at the same inn. And when they saw what had happened, they decided they're going to do the same thing. They tried to grab it all. So they filled up a chest with dirt and they gave it to the emperor. And of course it didn't work, and the emperor had them all killed off. This was Nochum Ish Gamzu. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, why was Nochum Ish Gamzu called? Why wasn't he called Rebbe Nochum? Everyone we find is called Rebbe in the Tanoim. Called Rebbe. Because it's a bigger title to be called Nochum Ish Gamzu than to be called Rebbe Nochum. Because a person whose whole attitude to life is that everything's for the good, which is the message of the Megillah, then he deserves to be called Nochum Ish Gamzu. Nochum Ish Gamzu, the one who always says Gamzu Letoivo. And Nochum Ish Gamzu's Talmud, at the Talmud Rebbe Akiva, also teaches us the same attitude that one should have when one faces life's difficulties. One should always be accustomed to saying, Kol Mada Ovid Rachmona Letav Ovid. Everything the Rabbeinu Shlomo does is for the good. We know the famous story. The Gemara in Brochus relates the well-known story that he was once traveling, and upon reaching a certain city, he requested lodgings, and nobody was willing to give him lodgings. Nobody wants to accommodate him. He said, Kol Mada Ovid Rachmona Letav Ovid. Everything the Rabbeinu Shlomo does is for the good. And during the night, he sat to sleep in the field. During the night, the wind blew out his candle. Kol Mada Ovid Rachmona Letav Ovid. And then a cat ate his rooster. Kol Mada Ovid Rachmona Letav Ovid. Then a lion ate his donkey. Yet again, he still kept saying, Kol Mada Ovid Rachmona Letav Ovid. Everything the merciful one does is for the good. In the morning, he discovered that the town was overrun and been captured by an army. And were he to have been there, or were they to have seen his candle, heard his rooster, or seen his donkey, then he would have suffered the same fate as them. So he was correct in saying that Kol Mada Ovid Rachmona Letav Ovid, that everything the Rabbeinu Shalom does is for the good. The same concept, the Sfasemes of Ger, says we have with Yetzias Mitzrayim. An interesting pasuk in Mishli, which needs explaining. And the Medrash explains it, and Sfasemes is Marchiv, elaborates on it. The Pasuk says, Koivid Evan, and literally translate, Koivid Evan, a stone has weight, the Natel Choyu, sand has a mass, the Kas Evil, the anger of a fool, Kovid Mishneim, is heavier than both of these things together. That's Pasuk Pshat in the Medrash, in literally translated the Pasuk of Mishli. The Medrash explains as follows. Evan, a stone, refers to Klal Yisrael. How do we know? Pasuk says, Mishom Roye Evan Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is described as Evan, as a stone. Koived, Evan, Koived, weight, is the expression of Kovoid, which is honor. Honor. Koived Evan means HaKadosh Baruch Hu honored Klal Yisrael over and above all other nations in the world. Neitel choyl. Choyl, sand, also refers to Klal Yisrael. As we know that Klal Yisrael, v'hoyo mispar b'nei Yisrael k'choyl hayom, the number of Klal Yisrael will be immeasurable, more than the sand of the sea. Neitel choyl, literally translated is sand has a mass, but here, the Medrash translates is neitel is notalti, to take, to pick out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I picked out Klal Yisrael from all other nations in the world. So Koivid Evan means I honored Klal Yisrael. Natal Chol means I chose them over and above all the other nations of the world. What does Kas Evil mean? Kas Evil is the anger of a fool. That's Paroi's anger, Paroi's obstinacy. That is Kovid Mishneim. That outweighs both the honor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accorded Klal Yisrael, and both the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael. The anger of Paro's obstinacy outweighs all of both those things. What does this mean? The Sfasemis explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Klal Yisrael, he wanted to free them from the bondage of Mitzrayim. There was one problem. They had no merits. With no merits, you couldn't free them. Sorry, you can't free them. But he wanted to free them, so what should he do? So he decided to harden Paro's heart. And Paro dug his feet in the ground and he said, I'm not going to free them. Says the Rabbeinu Shlom, now you're being obstinate. You're refusing to free them. You don't deserve to have them anymore. So even though, says the Sfasemis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could honor Klal Yisrael, and he chose them over and above all nations, that wasn't enough to free Klal Yisrael from Shibud Mitzrayim, from the Mitzrayim. What could cause them to be freed? Only the fact that Paro dug his heels in, that Paro was obstinate and Paro made it worse for the Yidden, that's why he didn't deserve to have them. That's why he took them out. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed them from Klal Yisrael. Comes out, says the Sfas Emes, Koy v'deven, the Neitel Choyl, the honor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accorded Klal Yisrael, and the fact that Neitel Choyl, that he chose them from all other nations, that wasn't enough to free them. Kas Evil, the anger of a fool, Paro's obstinacy, covered Mishneim, that outweighed both of them. So in fact, that which looked terrible, the fact that Paro made it worse for Klal Yisrael, was the very cause and reason for Klal Yisrael to be freed from Shibud Mitzrayim. Gam Zule Toivo. That which looks bad, which looks negative, is actually good. That's what the Sfas Emes explains. I want to tell you a beautiful story. I've said it over a few times. This is a very important message, and this applies to the Megillah. In April 1944, there were two Jewish heroes. They were not religious Jews, fine Jews, very special Jews. Rudolf Werber and Alfred Wetzel. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of them. They escaped from Auschwitz concentration camp, and subsequently they wrote up the report called the Werber-Wetzler Report, which was passed on to the Allies and which was actually the cause of over 200,000 Jews being saved from the gas chambers. That's what the historians claim. On Erev Pesach, April 7th, they climbed into a hollow that had been prepared for them in a pile of logs stored in between Birkenau, in Birkenau's inner and exterior barbed wire perimeters. Huge logs that were piled up there to build the barracks. And a hollow had been created for them. They climbed into this hollow with this report, with all the information they had. And these two heroes waited for 3 days under three layers of logs on top of them, that had been placed on top of them, as the search parties and their barking dogs scoured and searched for them. Towards the end of the third day, they realized that their worst fears were coming to fruition, seemed to materialize. They were starving, they were weak, they were emaciated, they were physically and emotionally weak, exhausted, drained. And two guards started climbing the pile of rocks, suspecting that maybe they're hiding in this pile of logs. And as they were about to remove the third, they started removing one layer, two layers. And the guards were about to remove the third and final layer when the siren signaling the end of the 3-day search went off. The guards jumped off and they disappeared. And as night fell, they tried to escape. So they wanted to push off this final layer of logs. There was only one slight problem. These logs were so big and huge, and they were so weak, they didn't have the strength to push the logs off. But when there's a will, there's a way. They started pushing millimeter by millimeter, centimeter by centimeter, until they managed to push open a space, and they managed to climb out. And it's a long story how they managed to escape, and they gave over this information to their allies, and they survived. They survived the war, and they were cause for over 200,000 Jews to survive. Imagine what was their feeling when the guards were taking off that one layer and the second layer. At that moment, probably they thought they're going to be caught, tortured, killed. Who knows how many other people would have been killed. But if the guards wouldn't have taken those top two layers of logs, they never would have had the strength to remove three layers. They barely had the strength to remove one layer of logs. The fact that they managed to do that was a miracle. If they would have had to remove three layers of logs, they would have been stayed there, buried there, the Shomtek Rosam, that's where they would have stayed and been buried. At the moment, at that point of time when the guards were removing the first and second layer, everything looked black. But in hindsight, they realized that that which looked bad to them was actually a miracle. That was actually a miracle. And this is the message of Megillas Esther. Haman HaRasha was today. Today is Zayin Ador, the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the day when Haman thought this would be the best possible day, best possible month to rid the Jews of the cursed Jews. The month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. But he didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta on Zayin Adar, but he was born on Zayin Adar, which is today. Today's Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit. V'na poichu, it was totally turned around, is the theme of the Megillah. If we imagine Esther Amalka, we can truly feel the depth of her ordeal through a tefillah, through a plaint to the Rabbeinu Shlomo, as she prepared to break the law by appearing unbidden to beg Achashverosh for her brethren's survival. What did she say? Keili, Keili, lomo azavtoni. My God, why have you forsaken me? Sorry, Imenu was taken by Paroi for one night. And this tragedy of Esther Amalkot, she's been taken, she's been placed in the hands of this evil man for so many years. Lomo azavtoni, why have you forsaken me? This was the plight of Esther Amalkot, who was not just anyone, she was a supremely righteous prophetess who was actually married to Mordechai, to her uncle. Yet she was still forced, even though she was married, into the hands of this Achashverosh, this evil person. But this terrible tragedy, and in her despair, Keili Keili Lomo Azavtoni, this was in fact the catalyst for Klal Yisrael's salvation. So Kol Mada Ovid Rachmano Latav Ovid Gam Zul Toivo, everything is for the best. This is the message of Ador, the message of the Megillah, and specifically today's message, the message of Zayin Ador, where not only was it Moshe Rabbeinu's Ptiro, but it was Moshe Rabbeinu's birth, the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'd like to just finish off with the words of a song whose lyrics were composed by Reb Yitzchok Isaac Toiv, whose soul, whose neshama descended from the chamber of melody, from the Heichal HaNegina. Today, Zayin Ador is his yahrzeit. He shares the same yahrzeit as Moshe Rabbeinu. Reb Leib Soros, he was a young child, as an 8-year-old orphan. He was a person grew up as an orphan. He was dressed in tatters, and he tended his mother's geese, and he would listen to the shepherds singing, and they would sing the following songs. There was the shepherds, the non-Jewish shepherds. Forest, say it in English, forest, how vast are you? Rose, O rose, how far you are? If the forest were but smaller, then the rose would be closer. If you would take me from this forest, then we could be the two of us together. This was a song that the shepherds used to sing. Reb Leib Soros, the famous Reb Leib Soros, discovered him, Beruach Kodshoi, discovered Reb Yitzchok Isaac Toib. And he traveled, Reb Leib Soros traveled through Kfitzas HaDerech, all the way from Russia to Hungary, to fetch the child who grew up to become the famous Kalev Rebbe. And through his understanding of the concept that Kol Mada Ovid Rachmana Latav Ovid, that everything the Rebbeinu Shem does is actually for the good, even something that's negative can actually be positive, he was able to transform mundane and impure songs into spiritual songs of praise and yearning for the Rebbeinu Shloilom. So this song that he heard the shepherd sing as a young orphan when he was tending his mother's geese, he now sang as follows. And he used to sing, Golus, Golus, how vast you are. Shechina, Shechina, how far you are. If only the exile was shorter, then your presence could be closer. If you would take us from this exile, then we could be the two of us together. This is the message of Ador, that everything can be turned around for the good, and we should taka bizoicha to the end of the Golus b'mehir v'yomeinu. Amen.